By the way, last time I saw you, the beard wasn't there. You were a little young for that, I think, Jared.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I watched clips of the some of the videos back in the day, and I just kind of like shake my head, like, wow, I was trying to wear that, like just like a little hairs there during the playoffs, and like to me, I thought it was a massive beard back then, but yeah, still trying to work on it.
On this episode of the OHL podcast, I don't think there's any argument that our guest scored the biggest goal, hands down, in Owen Sound Attack franchise history. Jared Maidens joins the pod. And before we talk about that goal, which obviously is going to be a meaningful point of this conversation, Jared, I think we have to start with how you're doing today because a concussion derailed your hockey career. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. Life's good, back to normal, which is awesome. For a while after the hit there, you're dealing with some stuff and some symptoms where you kind of had to relax and maybe not do as much as you'd like, but things are a lot better now, through a lot of different treatment options and people helping me out. Still deal with some side effects with headaches, but I figured out how to manage those things and just really get through life without having to deal with that as much, which can be a little bit bothersome, but things are great. Things are good. Finishing school, which we can get into more and all that. But yeah, just living life and really enjoying it and still a part of the game and doing a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
So glad to hear that. And when you talk about feeling normal again, can you describe in any way how abnormal it felt to go through what you've gone through?
It's one of those things where it's very tough to understand until you feel it, until you go through it. Like I said, I remember right before I had mine, I think Sidney Crosby was going through some of his major ones, and I remember, just thinking like, why is this guy off so long? Or, why is it taking him so long to get back? Like, is it really bad as he says it is? And then you actually experience it and you feel it and you're like, holy smokes, like, it is what they say it is. And it's one of those things where it's like an invisible injury, right? Where, someone kind of said you break an arm, you see the cast, it's like, okay, you have a timeline where it's like the concussions, people kind of see you and they don't understand what's going on underneath. And you don't have that timeline of recovery. And that's one of the biggest things too, is you mentally like, what am I going to get back? For me, it's like 1 week turned into 2 weeks, 2 weeks into a month, and then a month, a bunch of months. And it's like, holy smoke. So you have to be, very strong mentally and just, understanding that there's a, trust the process and then plan through it all. But yeah, it's good days, bad days, and you kind of learn just to go with it. And that's what I did and found options. I think big thing was just kind of, just trying different, doctors or treatments and figure out what works for you in that specific case.
Obviously, an injury like this completely changes your career trajectory because you're a third rounder to the Ottawa Senators, for crying out loud. You had a professional hockey career that you were headed towards. And I don't think anybody comes to the OHL without those aspirations, right? You want to use that for the step to the next level. So let's just go back a little bit in hockey, Jared. And when you get drafted to the Owen Sound Attack, here's a kid from the Niagara area in Ontario getting called up to Grey County. What was it like when you found out that the Owen Sound Attack was the team that wanted you?
Yeah, it was one of those things where I wasn't exactly sure what number I was going to go. I know it was going to be, decently earlier, and I had an idea of what teams were picking at those spots. So, I mean, when you're at that age, you're just so excited just to get to that the next step. So, whoever took me, I was willing to go and play and just enjoy the experience. So, I'm trying to think who I was talking to before, but Owen Sound was one of the ones where I think, I wasn't on the radar initially, so when I got the call, I was like, okay, all right, it's awesome. We went up there. I believe, yes, I got the jersey and the hat the day of the draft, so we must have knew like a day prior or so, or a couple days prior, so we were able to get up there and be in the I guess feel the experience a bit more. So when they're called, I think it was the Dale DeGray and maybe a couple others with the staff there, we shook their hand, put the hat on, and it was really neat. It was an awesome day, a cool experience, and just obviously a start to, hopefully a long career, you hope. A bit shorter than I was expecting. But I mean, if I had to pick a scenario to have, just a small little window of playing, I think it could have been by far, well, definitely was the best place to go to, after everything that that team did. And I was just able to go along for the ride. So it was special.
I'm just thinking now, as a kid from the Niagara area, I assume you got a chance to play in the Jack back in the day, and then you end up at the Bay Shore. Any comparisons between those two barns?
Definitely a bit. Yeah, it's those tighter arenas where you definitely better be able to take a hit and give a hit, eh? With those smaller rinks. So it wasn't my natural game to play those close quarters, but you learn to adapt to it. But yeah, definitely the feel of just being everyone on top of you in a pretty cool atmosphere.
Who had the biggest impact on you, Jared, as you were developing in hockey and leading your way up to the Ontario Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard not to say my dad. I feel like that's the go-to with a lot of people, but definitely the biggest impact with me, and always in my ear, sometimes too much, the kid growing up. Yeah, I think he realized that when he stepped down from the bench towards the later end of my minor hockey career. But it's funny how he's just so passionate about the game and just pushing me to be better. And he played himself, and he taught it, so he understood all the different areas and how to adapt. So he was definitely the biggest influence for me going through. But coaches here and there that have huge impacts and really make a difference for you as you develop, physically and mentally as a player. Matt Turek, when I was in the Hamilton Junior Bulldogs, I know he's with a couple, major organizations now with, scouting or operations. Frank Pietrangelo, who won a Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He coached with my dad my whole basically minor hockey career growing up. So a bunch of these guys who were there understood it and just kind of give you these little, tidbits here and there to help you get to the next level.
You talk about the junior Bulldogs. I have to wonder about the maybe you call them the senior or the major Bulldogs, but the Hamilton Bulldogs with their OHL championship last year. Do you still keep an eye on the league, and would Hamilton be the team?
A little bit, yeah. I watch it here and there. Obviously, with social media, it's hard to sometimes miss some stuff. So it's good that way, where things will pop up. And yeah, they did some special stuff, so I was able to catch some glimpses here and there. I also, what was it, the outdoor game? Yeah, it was last winter, right? So I
Yeah.
went there. I caught the Leafs, and I know they were able to take advantage of that pad, which was pretty awesome. I was thinking, like, imagine the OHL, players being able to play outside in that environment, like how special that would be. So good for them. I don't know how they're looking this year. Are they going to make another big run at it, or is it kind of more of a rebuild? I'm not sure. I haven't been following
Yeah,
the Hamilton team as much.
I think it's time. It's interesting, actually, in this conversation with you. It's time for a rebuild in Hamilton, but the Owen Sound Attack this year are on their way up, and people are starting to talk about maybe this is something that happens, 10, 11 years after the last time it did for Owen Sound.
That's what I hear. I've been talking to some people, and they're pretty excited. And talking about the team and some players they got coming up. I think they're saying some guys would have had some major, I don't know, some goals or milestones that they've reached as far as rookies and stuff recently, which was pretty awesome for Owen Sound. I mean, as a 30-plus goals, some of the rookies are scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. So you're keeping up with these things just enough. Colby Barlow last year set a new franchise record, beating Bobby Ryan's old mark. And that's, listen, if you're beating a record that Bobby Ryan once held, I think you're doing all right.
Yeah, seriously, good for him. Well,
So what was your first season in the Ontario Hockey League like? When you look back on it now, Jared, what was that experience like in the Ontario Hockey League?
was good. It can be a bit shocking at first. I mean, coming in, as a kid from, playing minor hockey, we all go through it, and we all have to make that step. I think the big thing is, you're used to being, I always say, like the big fish in minor hockey when you come up in an earlier pick, and then you come in the OHL, and there's a bunch of guys who are the exact same, or even better, who had to go through that process of, the rookie duties and climbing your way up the ladder to eventually, earning the respect to be a leader. And I think if I could have changed anything, just advice to, kids when I talk to them when they're trying to, because I still do player development and on-ice stuff, I just try to talk about that mindset. And just coming in, ready to learn, ready to work, ready to kind of be that rookie and to be there for your players. I think that would have been an awesome mindset to have early on going into it. Just knowing that you got to really earn that respect to play. And but other than that, I mean, it was a great experience. I learned so much. I think when you get to that level, you realize how much you still had to learn, and just little habits. I remember, like, my first practice with a bit of Mark Reed's, which was our coach. He was amazing there with everything he taught. But I'd shoot a puck in a drill, and then I would just, like, skate off to the corner, and he's like, looking at me like, "You do that in the game?" I'm like, "No, I probably shouldn't do that." So he's like, "Stop on the net after you shoot a puck." So just little habits like that, right? Where in minor hockey, you just kind of, like, go through the flow. So yeah, it's really good. And just obviously living away from home and doing that, which is different, and just finding, new habits and how to kind of get yourself going.
Being away from home is something that I think is underappreciated for fans of the league, because when you put on Owen Sound's jersey, you're just an Owen Sound boy, right? But you're living there with basically a brand new family. You're like a foster kid to some degree. What was the billet experience like for you?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, my first year I had Daniel Zweep, so Big Zweeper, the fighter, and Owen Sound. So, I felt a little bit more protected with that big unit. It was good. It was a nice experience. I mean, he was a very easygoing guy. You see him on the ice, he seems scary, but off the ice, he's a big teddy bear, and we got along well. So that was nice. For me, it's huge to have another guy, I think, in the house. I know some guys sometimes go solo, I believe, where it's just themselves, but it's just nice to have a teammate to be able to drive to the rink with and come back with and just debrief about stuff or talk about things. And then it was just one of those houses where a lot of guys would want to hang out and be together, and it's one of those close-knit teams. So yeah, it was a good awesome setup. I think I had a couple while I was there, and just yeah, really good time.
Does a game stand out for you, Jared, early in that season, that first season in the OHL, that made you realize, okay, I'm here, I belong here, and this is the right place kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't had that one yet with the specific game. It's good. I think, I believe it was my second game that I got my first one. We had the Mercury jerseys on, those third jerseys, and I believe it was against Guelph. Should probably remember these things, right? But yeah, no, I think when I scored that goal pretty early in the season, and I think I started off pretty well. I believe it was almost a point a game the first, seven games. And I was like, okay, well, I can actually, do this and, keep up with it. And like I said, I think that's a big thing is mentally just having that confidence to know that, okay, it's a big step, but it's also manageable and just learning how to process everything. And then obviously the NHL guys came back from their their camps, and then you get booted down the lines a bit when the big boys come back early in the season. But just trying to stay encouraged and not discouraged was the big one for me, right? Because as good as I thought I was doing, you like I said, those guys earn their way to the top and they're unbelievable players. So you have to sometimes ride the pines a bit more certain games and just learn to, I guess, watch and process how they do things. So yeah, I'd say early on, I realized that I got this. I just have to, make myself believe that upstairs that can do it.
Was there an arena besides the Bay Shore? Because obviously, I think you'd love your home arena, but that you enjoyed playing in besides in Owen Sound?
It's funny, the rink in the Hershey Center in Mississauga. I know that's where I got the goal, but I remember there'd be times in minor hockey where we had games and I had, unbelievable nights there. So something about that rink that was always close to me. And it's like, you walk in there and you get excited, and obviously it's an unbelievable facility there inside, just with the stadium and the stands. So I'd say that rink was always one that I loved to play at. It was great.
What about the opposite end of that spectrum, a building you hated going into, whether it was the team you were playing or just the arena you didn't feel comfortable in?
We didn't play in it a lot, but I mean, Peterborough was always known with the square corners, so that was very interesting. Yeah, trying to adapt to that one. So I think any rink that's like tighter or smaller, and I guess that's why people say they hate going into Owen Sound's barn and playing like in the Ice Dogs, right? Because it's just a whole new feel. And then you got Belleville on the other hand, where you feel like you could skate for days on the Olympic size ice there. So definitely the smaller ones. They didn't fit my game too well. I like more of the open ice playmaking and stuff.
It's funny you talk about that Owen Sound Arena, and it feels, well, I mean, the building itself, of course, is smaller, but we were just in there first week of the season, and one of the rookies was out at the glass, kind of just taking a look at the arena. And as I was walking up to the broadcast booth, I said to him, "I know it looks smaller, but the ice surface is the same size." But it's so weird when you're, and I guess obviously when it's your home arena, you get used to that. But it's a strange place for other teams to come into, and I guess maybe good home ice advantage there at the Bay Shore.
Yeah, seriously. It must be, I guess, what just how the stands are kind of like over top. It makes you feel like you're maybe it's the colors, it's a bit darker in there, right? So maybe it just gives you that, like, you know, you that idea that you think it's a bit smaller for sure. But Owen Sound's definitely learned how to utilize it to their advantage and has done some great stuff in there. So yeah, home ice advantage all the way.
Was there a point during that season, Jared, that you kind of had the feeling that maybe this group was capable of something special? I mean, we know how it ended and we'll get to that, but was there a point during that season where, the switch may have flipped and you're like, yeah, you know what? We're capable of something here.
Yeah, I don't know exactly at what point that was. I mean, halfway through the season when you had Christmas break and you came back, and it's kind of like that stretch towards the end where it's like you're fighting for, to finish in the certain spots. I think that's when I kind of realized after the halfway point, like, okay, it wasn't just beginner's luck or anything like that. Like, we've held on to it to this point, so like this is becoming real. I remember we'd have the standings in the room where it'd be like the ratings for like each team within each division in the OHL, and I kept seeing our name kind of just going between, one, two, whatever, staying at the top of division and even the league as far as like goals for, goals against. I'm like, okay, this team's pretty legit. Like, they're holding on to this, and they just found ways to win. And I feel like it would just be, you'd be down by a goal or two, and I'd just be sitting there, getting my shifts here and there, but I'd watch these big guys like Hischin and Wilson and Andrew Shaw. They just find ways to score, and so many other names. I mean, that's probably why we did so well because we were so deep as a team. But like, would come back and win, and I'd just be like, these guys just—they know how to win. Yeah.
It's interesting. That's the second time you mentioned that as a rookie, obviously, you're not getting as much ice as others, and that's the way it goes. Those are the dues that you pay in hockey generally, not just in the OHL. But then we fast forward to, the way we started this conversation today. I don't think there's any argument at all, Jared. The goal that you scored, game seven, overtime, OHL final. And the attack win the OHL championship, biggest goal in franchise history. Take me through it.
Yeah, definitely felt like a long bus ride going to that game for sure. Just a lot of jitters, a lot of, good nervous feelings, just excitement. But it was one of those things where it was a long, grueling season. There was a lot of games. I mean, any guy can, attest to that as far as the playoffs go. It's a grind, right? Like, there's not many days off here. You're playing at home, you're going away. So, especially to grind it out with a 7-game series. I believe we had a, it was our tougher. I mean, first round, I think, was the closest one. Next to that was a bit tougher against London, of course, in their barn. It's always tough for some reason to play in there. Maybe just more intimidating with how many people. But yeah, we were going to Mississauga, and then we were doing our warm-ups, and I remember just seeing all the white, all the jerseys. So I was like, okay, maybe this feels like a bit more like a home game. And I think that kind of got us going a bit more as well. And then I think for me, just as the rookie, I was like, just get out there, do your duties, get it done. Just don't be that guy that's, a liability or getting scored on. And obviously, I had two overagers, with me on my line. So I'm like, okay, that's making it a lot easier. I had Robbie McNardy and Liam Healess, so both the old guys on the team, so helping me through. So I believe I had two that game. It was one of those goals where I can't take credit for, basically doing it all. I just happened to, get to the right area. The first one, I believe I got a cross ice pass kind of, and just almost like a backdoor. And then obviously the second one in OT, which was the biggest goal of my life. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I don't know. I didn't expect it, I'll tell you that for sure. And the way it happened, the way everything went down, like I said, just right place at right time. And it just happened so fast. But as the as I whacked at the, because I think it was, might have been Petgrave, I believe, from the point. So I think Bracer, Cameron Brace, brought it back. He shot it on net and it kind of popped out in the slot. And I just skated to it, gave it like the worst whack I've ever done for a first shot. And it was like slow-mo. It just kind of just slid to the post and kind of beat his pad as the goalie was sliding across.
One goal will decide this championship as well. Brace centers in front. They'll slide this goal!
Threw up my hands. So I was always the worst sellier when it came to celebrating after a goal, just threw the hand up. I think Bracer caught me first, and his finger poked me in the eye, lost the contact, so I was half blind. That whole celebration after everyone just coming around to celebrate on the boards, it was sweet.
It's funny you started talking about that celebration, because I wonder how much you can remember about what happens next. Like, that puck goes in and all of a sudden it dawns on you what just happened and the meaning, I guess, sort of the moment. But that celebration must be pretty intense.
Oh, it was very intense. Yeah, like I said, he got me good in the face. So contact, I don't know if you have glasses, so you can, I guess, you know what it's like when you don't have them on. So one's off, and I'm like, blind, trying to do the interviews after.
Here with Jared Maidens. There may be a new mayor in Owen Sound by the end of the day. The overtime winner to give the Owen Sound Attack the OHL title. Take us through the goal.
Oh, just one of those things. You're in the right spot at the right time, just trying to get contact to the puck, and you just slowly watch it go in. It was a great feeling.
Not only an OT winner, but also a goal in regulation today. Where does this compare in the games of your junior hockey or minor hockey career? I can see you're still shaking.
Well, yeah, I don't think this compares to anything previous before this. This is the best feeling by far in hockey. I'm loving it.
Just doing the whole ceremony, but it was amazing. It was cool. And like I said, I was just happy to feel a part of it, because, as rookies, you don't have that big role, even though you can be valuable at times for certain scenarios. It's the big guys that, you go to and, see them kind of, pull through and win games. But to be a part of it that way felt really nice as the rookie. And I was appreciative and just felt, blessed to be there and to experience that.
How many times since that goal, Jared, have you been asked to talk about that goal? Like, I just asked you to talk about, especially in Owen Sound. I mean, this is honestly, this must live on in Owen Sound hockey lore now.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love talking about it. I mean, when people approach me like yourself and want to, do an interview and talk, I mean, I definitely get excited and appreciative that I could, like I said, just be there. And it's one of those goals that just always lives on, and it's so special to just, think about it or bring it up again and relive those moments. As old as I get, I'll always want to relive the glory days, right? And, eventually tell the kids, back then, I'm just kidding. But it's nice. It's special. And when you think back to it, I mean, we've just passed 10 years not too long ago. So it's crazy. I still feel like I'm an 18-year-old, young kid in my mind. I mean, other than the pain in my joints and the lower back, but it's great. Yeah.
How many of the guys from that championship team are you still in touch with?
Not a ton. Like, I'm trying to think who I'd be in touch with most. Jake Dotchin played a bit. He wasn't there the original year. I know Curtis Gabriel was actually one of the rookies with me that year when we played, and I keep in touch with him quite a bit. I know he retired, I think, maybe a week or so ago from he was playing up and down the NHL, AHL, really trying to grind his way through. Talk about work ethic. That guy was crazy, his work ethic. He would be one of those players that would stay on after practices, and he'd be doing suicides, like just skating himself. So I remember telling that guy's, he's going to do something, with his work ethic. And obviously he got to that highest level, but not too many. I mean, here and there, you'll see some guys out of the blue. Joseph Blendisi, I know he came in a little bit after again. And so I keep in touch with some of them. There's a bunch of others out here and there. I'm just not coming to mind right now, but really good guys, really good guys.
You had mentioned getting into what was then the Hershey Center, Paramount Fine Foods now, I guess, in Mississauga, we're calling it. But for that game 7 and seeing the sea of white. And I remember just kind of watching that championship and then that Memorial Cup, really, as a member of the media. And of course, it was nicknamed the Bayshore South because the Owen Sound fans traveled so well. What did it mean to the team to have that kind of support when you were in, obviously, a different barn?
Yeah, it's huge support. It's it's massive, especially for, a team going into, another area, another playing in another barn. And, we talked about home ice advantage there earlier in the interview. So I think they understood as a, as a crowd and as fans how important that was as well. And, they took it just as serious. They weren't just fans that just watched the game passively, but they truly did engage, and they were, part of the team, which was amazing. And just seeing the busloads, come up to when you're going to games and you just realize like, okay, that's our crew. Like that's all our fans, you know, unloading the buses and coming to watch us. And, you know, it's something amazing about that. It's almost like that feel when you're a kid and you know, you got your families coming to every single one of your minor hockey games and, you know, certain people show up, you want to play. Right. So, it was one of those scenarios where you just wanted to play for the crowd.
So the next season, obviously your draft year and fewer than 30 games in when the injury occurs. Do you remember the hit, Jared, that caused it?
Yeah, it was against against Barry. It was against Shifley. There's a cool name that I like to bring up. I'm like, oh, I played against that guy. He's not bad, eh?
Shifley. It's okay.
Yeah, it was one of those games. It was, you know, getting chippy here and there, and, you know, I was given some hits, taking some, and then at one point I was skating and the player was coming to finish his check on me and he was coming across pretty strong and I think I went to go cut quick and I lost an edge. So I think as I was falling, they went to go jump over top of me and a knee kind of collided into the top of my head. So it was more of like a compression hit, not so much whiplash. And I just kind of remember feeling a little bit of a goose egg, you know, feeling on the top of your head where it's very tender. And continue to kind of just play the game out as, you know, players do when they're, you know, so it's not too bad. And then for me, it was like the next day, right. I think it was, yeah, the next morning I woke up and I was like, I felt off. Was I sick or flu or just felt something weird? I couldn't concentrate. Was dizzy a bit, you know, headachey, foggy, like all those kind of, you know, weird terms that people use to explain it all. But yeah, it was one of those hits where it didn't necessarily seem crazy bad because I wasn't like knocked out or laying on the ice. I was still able to get up and, you know, kind of remembered it. But it whatever it did, yeah, just, you know, really messed up some stuff. Whether it was, you know, partly neck related. You know, we hear a lot about that with studies, right? Where there could be a lot of neck related stuff as well. You know, secondary to, you know, some concussion brain stuff. So yeah, it was a very fluke incident.
I get the sense, Jared, that somebody that suffers an injury like this becomes almost an expert in what's going on with the brain and the head because you're trying to figure it out. Like, you know, we can talk today. We probably could have been talking 10 years ago very much like this without you showing any real signs of the injury. It's not like you have a cast on. It's not like you're, you know, you've got a broken arm, anything like that. But how much do you learn about head injuries, concussions, the brain itself as you go through this?
Yeah, I learned so much that made me want to go into the health field. So that's kind of, yeah. Got into studying osteopathy. So as a manual practitioner, you know, I think I got about 5 months left of that 4-year program. So constantly studying the human body, you know, from the head to toes. So it just intrigued me. I think the idea of, you know, not fully being able to understand exactly what was going on and why it's happening pushed me to want to learn more. And it's one of those things with the head. It's like they're still trying to do so much research to figure out exactly what's going on in there. So it's hopefully eventually research will bring out a lot more as far as that. I mean, we've seen how it's changed so much. Initially when I was playing, it was like, you take that hit, like you got to be sidelined and do nothing and be in a dark room for a ton of days. And then now they're realizing, like, you know, you take a hit, okay, maybe a couple of days, relax and lay low, but you got to start engaging the brain a bit more, because if you don't, then you're going to lose all those synapses, you know, in the brain that it's created. So it's kind of interesting how they've kind of changed that, a bit of the, you know, demeanor and how they approach those injuries and the concussions. So, but I'm really hoping it can come a lot more, a longer way. You see scenarios like that, the quarterback, what's his name, with Miami.
Right. Yeah.
Took two hits in 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh man, I see the first one where he's walking, he kind of like falls. And then the second one, it's like, that's scary stuff. And it's something that you got to take pretty serious, but it's hard as athletes, right? Because you just want to keep pushing. And you know, it's like, no, I want to be part of the play. I want to make things happen. And, you know, then you got to deal with that, right?
You kind of read my mind on that part, because as that athlete, Jared, you finish that game when you took the hit. It was the next day that you said that you realized something, okay, is definitely not right here. But how frustrating was that process for you when obviously you want to come back? You're in your draft year. You want to play for the Owen Sound Attack. You're defending an OHL championship and so on and so on and so on. How frustrating was the period of recovery and the inability to get back?
So very frustrating. It's tough. It's like one of those things where it's, you know, out of your control in a way. And that I like I mentioned, the timeline, the recovery timeline, you don't know. And I was just trying to take it week by week, and people questioning like what's going on, or how long is this going to take, and just feeling just helpless kind of in that way of not knowing exactly when that would be or not being able to give an answer. I had the was it the Bobby Orr versus the Orr sorry Bobby Orr versus Don Cherry game,
right?
And top prospects for the NHL draft coming up, and remember them approaching me and just asking me like, hey, are you gonna be able to play in this thing, because I was set to go on the run roster. And I was like, you know what, I don't know. I can't give you an answer. And then obviously I had to get, cut off from that because they needed someone to fill in properly. So just things like that leading up to the draft was frustrating. Just kind of losing out on a little bit of that experience going through it all. And then you want to play for your country, right? With, World Juniors and try out for that. And the year before that, I was with the U18s, in Czechoslovakia playing with the guys at the under 18s, we won gold. So I knew I had a good opportunity to try and, make it on the next level there with the world junior team, but I didn't get to try out. And, just things like that overall, very tough. And going to the draft, then you feel like, it's one of those things where I'm here, I'm sitting down, I'm, going to wait for my name, but like my agent said, just go there and enjoy it. And you might not get drafted. That's okay. Just go and have fun and really try to take it in. That's the hardest part. Cause as athletes, you put in the work your whole life, and you realize you get results from that. And so when you're sidelined and just kind of like, it is, whatever happens, it can be a bit tougher.
You did get drafted though. And, you talked earlier about playing that goal or talking to the kids about the goal you scored for the Owen Sound Attack. Nobody takes that away from you. Nobody takes away from you being drafted in the third round by the Ottawa Senators, even though you only played those 28 games or so in your draft year. What did that mean to you?
Oh, it was special. It was an amazing moment. And I don't know. I went into the draft. I know they told me expect not to get drafted. But, part of you is like, what? Like, it's going to happen. I worked hard for this my whole life. And I kind of had third round, kind of somewhere mid in the draft in my mind. And, thankfully, it happened that way. And, it was great. And Mark Reed's, being a part of that organization. He was kind of the first name that popped into my head when I got drafted, because I thought, okay, maybe he had, an input. I'm sure he did a bit as far as, that, and maybe kind of giving them some information. He was with me for the full year before that. But yeah, it was great. I had something else. I was going to different train of thought, but it's still in the morning. So maybe I lost that. I don't know where I was going to go with it, but, family there in Ottawa, close to my heart as far as going up there, every year and seeing them. So, Canadian team, all this stuff. So when it came up, I was just that was the best / worst experience ever, is sitting in the chair waiting for hoping for your name to be called. It's it can be so nerve-wracking, right? Because you know in a game you have the puck on your stick, or you're making things happen, and then all of a sudden there in that situation, it's like you just got to sit there and you know wait and see and hope that you get called. But it's amazing experience, amazing time. Yeah.
You almost made the comeback. You got back to an Attack camp in the summertime, but it just wouldn't stick for you. How difficult was that experience, thinking that maybe this is the time for you to get back into the game, and it just didn't happen?
Yeah, I remember I was still wrestling with some symptoms. Me mainly, it was a lot of, headaches. I still battle a little bit of headaches here and there. I have ways to kind of deal with it. And, I've even, I think the last thing I tried was I did the Botox injections, and believe it or not, like out of a lot of stuff, that was one of the things that gave me a lot of relief with the headaches and tension headaches, migraine headaches, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, that's been awesome. But I mean, going through it, I think a couple years after the hit, I'm still dealing with that, some other minor things. And I'm like, you know what, I got to try to get back and go to camp. And so that's what I did. I went back to Owen Sound. I did the camp. Those days would be like, so you got two games in a day, you got fitness testing, you got a workout. And I remember I was just trying to, take a little bit off as far as my intensity for certain areas during the workouts, just so that I wouldn't bring on worse headaches. And then, during the games, you're going into corners and you're like thinking twice about certain scenarios, because you're like, am I going to get my bell rung if I go in this way? And then, so I just kind of reflected after, and I'm, I think it was the second day into it, and just kind of like where my mind was at. I'm like, this isn't right. Like, I've never felt like this before when I played. When you go into the corners, you don't have those thoughts, before the injury. And it's just always like, I'm going to go in there, get the puck, or I'm going to take off whoever's head, I have to in order to get it. And now you're just worrying about, not getting your bell rung again and all these little thoughts. So I'm like having headaches at the camp and, all these little things, not feeling 100% healthy. And I made the decision to, pull out, and kind of, to me, that was probably the first time where I realized, okay, maybe it's, it's fully done. You never want to accept that. And that was the hardest day, was making that decision and talking to, the management, and then, talk with the agent. And then it was kind of almost like the official, I guess, goodbye in a way. I never fully did that. I never made like an announcement where I was, stepping away from hockey. I think deep down, I just didn't want to do that. Right. It's very tough to do when it's so close to your heart, your whole life.
I can't even imagine at that age, Jared, 18, 19 years old, you've had that success. You've tasted that success, obviously, at junior. You get drafted in the third round to the National Hockey League, and then you have to decide then that this is the end of the line. I can't even imagine. So what happens next? What do you do? How do you begin the process of coming to terms with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard. It's, it's that feeling where your heart drops and it just becomes very, dark feeling of like, okay, this is my whole life. This was my identity. And, it's what I was going to do. A lot of the times in life, we have these certain things planned out, and, funny enough, life never really, works out the way we always have it planned anyway. So for me, it was just, learning to adapt to whatever's to come, will happen. I mean, for me, spiritually, just finding my faith more, as a Christian was huge for me, and just understanding that hockey is great, but it's not my full identity. And, that was a huge outlet for me. I know Hockey Ministries International deals a lot with, junior hockey, AHL, NHL, the pro hockey, as far as offering, chapels and ministries to players. And I think that was a huge outlet for me to kind of lean into more and dig into more and realize, okay, hockey's a great game. But there is, more things to life that are important. Obviously, health being one of them too, which is why I stepped away, and the spiritual side of my, being and all that. So that's kind of where I went to and had a huge impact. And people just around me, I could name off so many people that had such a huge impact. My family being number one, just there to support me. Friends, and you just kind of realize, what's important in life. And when you step away from the game, you realize how invested you were, that you forget about all these other things sometimes. So when I came back home, it was funny. It was like just trying to reconnect with, friendships and grow relationships that, I just kind of like, you forget about, because it's just like, got to make it to the NHL. So good things, to take from it. So it's kind of where I'm at and how I got through it.
When you look back on the career as a whole, short as it may have been, certainly from OHL, and you didn't get into the NHL other than being drafted, but do you have any regrets? Do you look back on hockey, that part of your life, fondly?
I always tell people I'm so thankful for sports and for hockey. I mean, it's such a small world, as once you get into it, and like everyone's like meeting everybody, the networking, just the characteristics and certain disciplines you learn through it, just turn you into someone in life that's, you learn so many life lessons through it all. So it's amazing that way. Everything, that it teaches, the coaching side, just the injuries, like we talked about, it's the only, thing that you just gotta go into, knowing that there's a possibility for that to happen. And as far as being, a parent in the future, if that ever happened, I feel like it'd always be that, you get like uptight, like in certain situations, because you don't want to see someone go through, something like that, right? So, but it comes with sports and contact. So you just gotta, take that chance with stuff. But it's such an amazing outlet, or just to be able to play sports is great.
So you have stayed in the game to that degree too, helping to develop players at your school with your dad.
Yeah. So I stayed in that. After I stepped away from the game, I didn't get right into it. I think it was one of those things where, you hear stories sometimes, guys, after they're done their careers, they'll sell equipment and just not even step on the ice for a while. And it was almost kind of like that for me, where, I still kept my gear and everything, but I never watched hockey at all for a while after. I kind of had this bitter feeling towards things I should be there doing that. And then I think after about 2 years, I put on a game, and then I started to actually enjoy watching it again more. And then I wanted to step into more of the coaching side, and I was going to the rinks more. So it was kind of an interesting process there of transitioning, and then got to a point where now I really appreciate the coaching side of it, and I learned so much myself and realized how tough it actually is to be a coach and to try to communicate and take what you know and give it to other people. So much more respect for coaches now, because you're used to just being the player who sits there and critiques them or listens to them. But now you're the guy in that position trying to figure out, okay, how does this player work? How does this guy work? And communicating and getting them, fired up or developing their skills.
Do you think you might pursue that further in the game? Might we see you behind the bench in an Ontario Hockey League game sometime?
Imagine that. That'd be pretty neat.
It would be pretty
I've been,
cool.
yeah, I've been asked that before. I mean, I've definitely been in the lane to try to pursue that still, as far as staying connected with, like I said, the development and all that, and teaching and coaching. I haven't coached a team yet. I've been asked to do that with some minor midget teams, and even at a little bit higher levels. And I haven't done it yet. I mean, I've been pursuing osteopathy with the health side, so I've been so passionate about that, where it's hard to do all these different things. I kind of have to make sure I stay focused on one thing. So I don't know. I'm unsure. Maybe later on. But I mean, it's one of those things where you gotta really put in a lot of effort to that as well. I'm seeing, right? Like, even like a player, coach, same thing. You gotta kind of work your way up. It's not something that you're just gonna be necessarily given, unless you're an NHL guy that retires, and then all of a sudden you see some of those guys that just fall into an operations or coaching spot. But yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see. But I enjoy doing the guy that comes in and just works with different teams and players. You kind of get to see a lot of things and work with a lot of guys.
When you get onto the ice today and you do the work that you do, are you able to do it symptom free, so to speak? Like your health is good enough that it feels normal to you?
Yeah. I'm able to go out there and do the hockey stuff and feel symptom free, which is sweet. So, yeah, I remember like early on when I, had some stuff going on. So I'd coach, and you still feel a little bit of like things. But now when I do it, I'm good, and so that's awesome. Don't have to worry about that, and just go out there and coach and to be there for them. But yeah, I'll be on there later today, so I'll be good. I'll figure out some drills, prep the drills, and then yeah, figure out who you're dealing with and what age category, and just do what I can to yeah, pass some information on.
Given what you're doing now, would you have changed Jared Maydens, the player, in any way to make him more coachable? Were you difficult to coach?
I don't think I was difficult to coach, but I think I could have been maybe a bit laid back in scenarios. Maybe for me, it was finding ways to be more consistent. And you talk about that engagement level for players and just coming, each game ready to go. For me, I think that would be one thing, would be preparation and being properly prepared each game, because you're not always going to be the same energy level. Some days you're going to come in feeling a little bit more, down. Some of the days you have a ton of energy, so it's just finding ways to be more consistent. I mean, that's a thing early on when you're 16, 17 years old. I mean, you're not used to those habits, or you come from minor hockey and you're just, you're kind of playing. But just to be at that pro level, you see guys who are analyzing videos, or they're eating these meals at certain windows of the day, they're getting proper sleep the night before. I could have been so much better with that stuff. And just, I think, yeah, just being a bit more, like I said early on in the interview, of just going there and, just taking in what you can, and being ready and willing to be like a sponge and just learn. I think I wish I would have been a little bit less hard on myself, as far as like, you putting pressure on yourself as a player and worrying so much about, who's watching, all those little things on the exterior, and just kind of being a bit more stronger minded and just doing your thing. Yeah, that's some things I'd probably tell to younger Jared.
You know, it's interesting. The idea to track you down came up when I just recently had Fred Wallace on the podcast, and of course, we're talking about Owen Sound history and that biggest goal. And I'm starting to think, is there going to be a Fred Wallace day or a Jared Maydens day first in Owen Sound to celebrate the success of the Attack franchise?
It's awesome. Freddie Wallace is a great dude.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Jared Maidens isn't bad either, and he had some pretty good things to say about you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Tell him thank you. If I don't know, you guys keep in touch quite
we
a
do,
bit?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Tell him thank you. Tell him I said hello, and I hope he's doing well. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he really
great
is.
People.
It's a fun community for junior hockey for sure. And this has been great to get the chance to catch up with you. So thanks a million for making the time to do this with me.
I appreciate you having me on here and just be able to chat and talk about hockey and life. So thank you, Mike, for everything. I hope you continue to do great stuff with us.
The podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.